Hi, this is Pastor Chris, and I'd like to welcome you to this, the sixth edition of Sunday in Review. This is what happened at Living Hope Baptist Church on August 18th, 2019. Our Sunday school began as usual at 9:30 in the morning, and we began with a word of the day, as usual. Our word was divagate, D-I-V-A-G-A-T-E, divagate. It is a verb, and it means to stray or digress. Your word of the day. Divagate. After that, we had some church trivia, where the trivia is not trivial. And the question was this. This Dominican friar, years 1225 to 1274, was an important theologian in the tradition of scholasticism. He was the foremost classical proponent of natural theology, and he argued that reason is found in God. Who was he? Your answers, or your choices for a possible answer, were number one, Peter Lombard, number two, Duns Scotus, number three, William of Ockham, or number four, Thomas Aquinas. And the correct answer was number four, Thomas Aquinas. After that, we turned our attention once again to the book of Revelation. And we looked in particular at the Lord's instructions through his letter to the church in Philadelphia. This is a letter in which only positive things are stated. And really what's being said is that the Lord says that they have been faithful. Even though they are a small church and they have little strength, by God's grace, they have been faithful to do the ministry. And because of that, the Lord will open the doors for future ministry for them, as he says in the letter. After that, we had a case study. Our case study went like this. You have a Christian friend. Her name is Mindy, and she has experienced a series of personal setbacks. Her husband left her, one of her children is seriously ill, and she is struggling to pay her bills. Things have been hard for a long time, and she is discouraged. She wonders whether God is chastening her, and she asks you what you think. The question is, what will your biblical response to Mindy be? A difficult situation, obviously. And it raised a great deal of discussion about the idea of punishment versus chastisement, whether or not sometimes just terrible events occur without being chastening, which of course they do. We looked at the book of Job. We also looked at a passage in Hebrews and in 1 Peter to give a biblical response to this question. Well, after our time in Sunday school, we had a break for 15 minutes, and then we came back together for our worship service. Our worship service began with the song, I Will Follow. Really a great challenge to us about our commitment. It's a statement. Sometimes we sing these things because we believe them. Sometimes we sing them in order to draw ourselves towards belief in these things. I would hope that we believe it already, but we recognize that it's an ideal for which we strive. The words are, where you go, I'll go. Where you stay, I'll stay. And when you move, I'll move. I will follow you. The acknowledgement is that we say all God's ways are good, all God's ways are sure, and we say we will trust in him alone. So the emphasis of the song is that we will do what he wants us to do. We recognize we often fall short of that ideal, but when we do, we confess it and we rededicate ourselves to following him. After that, we welcomed everybody, and then we gave a few announcements, and then we gave our call to worship, which this week came from Psalm 138, verses 6 through 8. Though the Lord is on high, yet he regards the lowly, but the proud he knows from afar. Though I walk in the midst of trouble, you will revive me. You will stretch out your hand against the wrath of my enemies, and your right hand will save me. The Lord will perfect that which concerns me. Your mercy, O Lord, endures forever. Do not forsake the works of your hands. Great call to worship. After that, we sang the song Beautiful and the song Forever Rain, and then the song Great Are You, Lord, emphasizing that all the earth will eventually shout the Lord's praise, and our hearts will cry and our bones will sing, Great Are You, Lord, indeed. Following that, we had the time of scripture reading from 1 Timothy 6, verses 6 through 16. And really, the key verse in this passage, I think, or at least one of the key verses, is found in verse 6, which says, Now godliness with contentment is great gain. That led us into a dismissal for the kids, first of all, time of giving, but then into a time of prayer. And we gave praises and testimonies first, and then we shared our prayer requests and prayed for one another. This then led to our sermon time, where we once again turned our attentions to the book of Proverbs, where we are seeking to live wisely in God's world using God's word as our light. We had acknowledged in the previous weeks the difficulty of preaching through the book of Proverbs, and I had confessed that I had struggled a bit with that, and had come to the conclusion that I would group things together using a convenient format referred to as the seven deadly sins. Once again, not to be confused with the mortal sins of Roman Catholicism, but rather as recognizing that there are some sins that seem foundational to other sins and to their emergence in our lives. These seven deadly sins that over two millennia have been recognized include pride and wrath, greed, gluttony, lust, envy, and sloth. This week, we looked at the sin of greed, particularly as the sin of greed appears in the book of Proverbs. We acknowledge that greed is a difficult thing to define, but here's some situations or examples that we gave. That greed is an intense and selfish desire for something, especially wealth, power, or food. We addressed it as an excessive craving for something that is not necessary for one's own survival, and often to the detriment of another. I suggested this, it was Chris's own definition, but it basically goes like this. When enough stuff just isn't enough. Then we turn to the book of Proverbs, Proverbs 1, 17 through 19, speaking about the inadvisability of throwing in your lot with robbers, those who would take money illegally from others. The writer of Proverbs says, "Surely in vain the net is spread in the sight of any bird, but they lie in wait for their own blood." These ones who would do such things. They lurk secretly for their own lives. But then he says something really pivotal. We might all say, well, yeah, of course we agree with that. But at this point, then the writer says, so in the same way are the ways of everyone who is greedy for gain. It takes away the life of its owners. Then Proverbs 27:20, we read this, speaking of man's insatiable desire, that hell and destruction are never full. So the eyes of man are never satisfied. Or Proverbs 30:15-16, the leech has two daughters, give and give. The leech, I take that to mean the mooch, the guy who wants more and more. And he has two things that are most important to him, give and give. He wants more and more. And there are three things that are never satisfied. And the writer's going to liken this moocher to these things. And to the fourth that never say enough. First, the grave. It's never satisfied, where it says, oh, I have enough dead people now. Or to the barren womb, the woman who is unable to have a child. The sadness of that is only relieved by a child coming. Never can they be satisfied in any other way. The earth that is not satisfied with water, where the earth says, enough, I have too much water. Or the fire that says enough. So in these same ways is the leech described. Proverbs 22:3, 4, and 5 says this about wisdom concerning riches and greed, frankly. Do not overwork to be rich. Because of your own understanding, because you have wisdom, stop, cease. Will you set your eyes on that which is not? For riches certainly make themselves wings. They fly away like an eagle toward heaven. From these things, I came up with three principles. First of all, that greed springs from discontent. Secondly, that greed cannot be satisfied. It can only be renounced. You never can get enough stuff if stuff is what is most important to you. And then the third principle is this. Be wise and find your contentment in God. Now, of course, much of that seems obvious. But in order to drive this home, I took the folks in our church to Luke chapter 12, verses 13 to 34. And in that passage, Jesus is challenged by someone to settle a dispute about an inheritance. And Jesus says, basically, I'm not the person for that. I'm not the one who's going to settle that dispute. Because he says, take heed and be aware of covetousness. In other words, greed. Because one's life does not consist in the abundance of the things he possesses. After that, then, he spoke a parable to them. And he talks about this rich man who grows so many crops that he says, wow, I have so much, I need to build new barns to store it all. And he says, I'm going to stack it all up. I'm going to put it into a barn. I'm going to store it up. And then I will have enough so that I can retire and say, soul, you have many goods laid up for many years. Take your ease, eat, drink, and be merry. Jesus says on that night, God said to him, fool, this night your soul will be required of you, then whose will those things be which you have provided? And he draws it to this conclusion. He says, so is he who lays up treasure for himself and is not rich toward God. And I don't know about you, but I want to be rich towards God, not rich toward myself. I say that, my flesh argues with it at times, but that's genuinely the desire of my soul. But Jesus didn't leave it there. He then talks to the disciples about all this. And he says, I tell you, don't worry about your life, what you eat, or about your body, what you're going to put on. Life is more than food. The body is more than clothing. And he draws their attention to the birds up in the air, and he talks to them about the grass and the flowers. And he says an interesting thing. He says, the lilies are clothed in a way that Solomon could not approach in terms of glory. Which is really remarkable, because now we've had the words fool, we've had the word wisdom, we've had the word Solomon, referring to one who was widely renowned for his wisdom, pointing us all, it seems, back again to the Proverbs, and then reminding us, as a conclusion to all this, that our faith should be in God. Of course, it reminds us of what we read in Matthew 6, that we should seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all those things will be added to us. And it's said here, of course, as well, in Luke 12, verse 31. Now, it was one interesting challenge that I gave, and I am challenged by myself, comes in verse 33, and he says to his disciples, sell what you have and give alms. Provide for yourselves money bags which do not grow old, a treasure in the heavens that doesn't fail, where no thief approaches nor moth destroys. And I observe that often when we approach these stories, we think of these people as Bible people. Well, sure, they were in some sort of unique position where hearing that they could sell everything they have and give it away made sense. But, of course, if the Lord was here today, he wouldn't look at my life and say, hey, Chris, go sell what you have and give it away. But I am challenged, and I would challenge you to consider that perhaps they were people just as we are. And there's something about this call that is radical in nature, but is radical also for us. To have such a loose hand of our possessions that we would be willing to abandon them all. And perhaps not just willing, but also acting on that willingness. I challenged myself, and I challenged everybody there, to think about how we can give away what we have. And focus instead on what we can gain for the kingdom. And what we can gain in terms of eternal rewards, as opposed to seeking temporal rewards. This section of the scriptures ends with these words, for where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. Well, your choice, my choice, is to choose between God and stuff, between these two competing ideas. Greed is good. I got to get what I want to get. And here the other idea is, God is good. I will glorify him with his stuff. I clarified on Sunday, and I'm going to clarify again here, a few thoughts, in case there's any misunderstanding here. First of all, it is not a sin to have money, to have stuff. And there were a lot of God's faithful servants who had lots of stuff. Think Abraham and Isaac and Jacob. But your stuff can be a hindrance. And you, don't forget, are called in Scripture to be generous and giving back to God through tithes and offerings. And the final admonition or reminder I gave myself, is this. You know it and I know it. Your stuff does not go with you when you die. A cradle and a coffin are very similar in that both are sufficient for a person. And that's all you need when you come in, and it's all you need when you leave. Leave you with this thought, Matthew 6:24. No one can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will be loyal to the one and despise the other. You can't serve God and mammon. And that brought our sermon to conclusion. After that, we sang No Longer Slaves, a reminder that indeed we follow the one who is faithful and able to provide all of our needs. We do not need to be slaves to fear any longer. And we close our service with a benediction from Ephesians 3:20-21. This brought us to the conclusion of our morning service, and then we had a nice afternoon break before the Sunday evening service, or our family Bible hour. Our family Bible hour began at 6 o'clock, as usual. We started with another call to worship. This one came from Psalm 108, verses 3 through 5. I will praise you, O Lord, among the peoples. I will sing praises to you among the nations, for your mercy is great above the heavens, and your truth reaches to the clouds. Be exalted, O God, above the heavens, and your glory above all the earth. After that, we had a scripture reading from the book of James, chapter 2, verses 14 to 26. And then we turned to our time of missions, where we prayed for a people group. This week's people group were the Kapali in Bangladesh. The Kapali. It's a relatively small people group. Their population is only 207,000. There are no Christians, though, among them. And their largest religion there among this people group is Hinduism. It's a little surprising when we think of Bangladesh, because typically we think of it as being Muslim. The Kapali are Hindu agricultural castles spread primarily throughout West Bengal and Bangladesh. They are reputed to have at one time been Brahmins, which is the top caste in the Indian system, but they have lost that status, and they have traditionally been a land-owning community. Though divorce is not permissible, desertion may sometimes take place among this group. Remarriage is allowed for both sexes in certain cases. The dead are cremated and pollution is observed. That's a ritual pollution, is observed for 15 days, or a ritual uncleanness. They have many deities, family deities like Lakshmi or Narayan or Manasa or Sitalia or Shiva and others. They follow their religious traditions with great devotion and piety. As we said, there are no believers among them, but we are praying that the Lord will cause that to change in the near future. After our time of prayer for the Kapali in Bangladesh, we shared some other prayer requests and then we prayed. And then we turned once again to a video series called Not a Fan, a Follower Story, which is an episodic study which has six episodes, I believe, in which we are following the aftermath of a fairly young man's death. He had become a believer about 3 years before his death, it seems, or he had become, maybe I should say, a committed follower of Jesus about 3 years before his death. This had left behind him a number of relationships in which the people with whom he was friends and family wrestled with his passing and wrestled with his faith in Christ. As we watch this video, we are challenged by the pastor who's part of the series and also speaking to the audience. We've been challenged to go beyond the idea of being a fan of Jesus, as in having a poster of him on the wall alongside our posters of our baseball heroes or our football heroes or whatever other heroes we have. To go beyond that idea, well, we're a fan, to the idea of a committed follower, where we will go where he says to go and do what he says to do. I strongly recommend that if you have not had an opportunity to join us for the Family Bible Hour, you join us. This is a great series, and it will be a great encouragement to you in your devotional walk with the Lord. Well, that brought our day to a close. It was a great day in the Lord's house. Frankly, I personally felt greatly challenged and felt a desire to go out and live for the Lord and to obey His word and to seek to see the positive changes in my life that He desires. I hope you did as well. If you can join us next week, please do. And I hope you have a great week. God bless.